The latest edition of the online Issues Etc. Journal is out. It contains an article I've written titled Legalism and License. How are these two really the same error? Find out with the latest Issues Etc. Journal. You can also read about Pastor Brian Wolfmiller's journey from liberal Lutheranism and navel-gazing evangelicalism to the external promises of God in Holy Scripture. Get your copy of the latest Issues Etc. Journal by sending your name and email address to journal@issuesetc.org.
If you know Jesus, I am sorry to break it to you. This church is not for you. Yeah, but I just gave my life to Christ last week at Elevation. Last week was the last week that Elevation Church existed for you. You're in the army now. We do one thing. We preach Jesus so people far from God can know Jesus. And then we train them up so that others can know Jesus. It's called kingdom multiplication. It's what Elevation Church is all about.
That's Stephen Furtig of Elevation Church in North Carolina. He says his church is not for Christians. It's only for unbelievers, and his church isn't for you if you're a Christian. This is kind of the extreme, if you will, of what is going on in churches all over the country every Sunday. They may not come out and say it as blatantly as Stephen Furtig does, but the message does get across. And what has brought us to this end? Seeker sensitivity, meeting the felt needs, first of the audience and then eventually of unbelievers. And what does a church look like if it's all about attracting unbelievers and keeping unbelievers attending? We're going to talk about the trap of seeker sensitivity for the remainder of this hour, this Tuesday afternoon, March the 16th, here on Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us, Les Lanphier. He's author of the blog Killer Robot Ninja, and he's written a blog post titled The Downward Spiral of Seeker Sensitivity. Les, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Todd. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You have written a line that I wish I would have written, but you're going to need to explain it. You talk about these seeker-sensitive churches. Eventually, you say they are trapped, unable to do the very thing that the unbelievers loved them for leaving out. What are you talking about?
Well, as we know, the purpose of the church is, you know, as far as evangelism, is to proclaim Christ and Him crucified for the forgiveness of sins. And the modern seeker-sensitive church kind of goes out of its way to avoid the offense and basically the offense of what the cross is. It's bloody. It talks about sin. It makes us sinners. And in order to grow a church, especially a church of quote unquote seekers, you have to water those things down, and that's exactly what the church has been doing. So when the time comes, perhaps those well-intentioned pastors have the intention of one day preaching a powerful, real gospel. But when the time comes and the church is finally to the size where maybe they're fairly content, they can no longer preach that message because they know that the moment that the true gospel leaves their lips, the offense will be like, you know, an elephant in the room, and people aren't going to come back.
Okay, you just mentioned this. It begins so often with good intentions. How does it begin, the seeker sensitivity in the church that eventually leads to a congregation where the pastor, either willingly or unwillingly, isn't preaching the gospel at all? How does it begin with good intentions?
I mean, unfortunately, there's not even a beginning in a lot of churches now. It really is just the way that churches are told to start, with the seeker-sensitive kind of ideas. But actually, this article is written from sort of my own perspective, my own experience of a church that went through this exact same thing. They started off very well, you know. They were preaching repentance. They were preaching about sin. They were preaching about the need for forgiveness, and it was very Christ-centered, and I watched, a downward spiral. as the importance of numbers grew, the message of the cross kind of started to diminish, and it took on this air of advice. So the things that concern the culture, the things that concern people, you know, I want to be a good husband, I want to be a good father, and so does everybody else in America. But people don't necessarily want to repent of their sin and be forgiven for their sins and have a relationship with God. So the good intentions start to turn to this reaching felt needs. So we start preaching messages on being good parents, on, you know, even things like how to have a better relationship with your wife in the bedroom, even, you know, which, you know, might be an important topic, but I would say probably isn't the best topic for a Sunday morning.
Okay. Now that I understand, you're kind of writing from some experience, speaking from some experience, one of the things that intrigued me, your description of this downward spiral of seeker sensitivity, was the degree to which, even at the beginning and then toward the end, there is mockery of doctrine. There's mockery of depth in biblical study. And in the end, there's mockery of those who decide to leave. Talk about all three of those, if you would.
Sure. As the importance, again, of the numbers started to take hold, actually, through this all, I became reformed. So I started to pick out the way it swayed towards that direction of these are dangerous doctrines. I was actually hearing things like the doctrine of predestination is from the pit of hell, that regeneration is a false doctrine, coming from the pulpit, and it's just, you know, those are biblical things. And it just started to be, you know, very eye-opening. It was shocking when you hear things like that. And at the same time, this kind of advice becomes almost doctrine. So the deeper, the true biblical doctrines that have been tried and tested and are historically accurate and describe our faith, those are the things that are set aside and often mocked. And then in outside Bible studies, for example, you hear this like joking around about those things, like, you know, Oh, I bet we were predestined to do this and things like that, and then everybody laughs. When, you know, predestination is a biblical word, and what are we doing when we're saying that those things are just jokes and you don't have to believe in some kind of predestination in order to even be a Christian?
If the numbers become king and the driving force, and increasing or maintaining the numbers becomes what the church is all about, what happens to the people who decide by attrition to leave and thereby, at least in a small way, reduce the numbers?
Right. Friendships are severed, and people kind of look at you as if you're no longer a part of this movement, because numbers, if the church isn't good, I think the philosophy becomes, if the church isn't growing, then the church isn't successful, which, numbers-wise, it's simply not true. I mean, there are good pastors who have stuck around with 50 members for years and years and years, and that's, you know, that is a service to the Lord, and it's nothing to be scoffed at. So as people start leaving the church, they're mocked. They're looked at as if they have a third head and or a second head, and they're mocked on the way out, and it's heartbreaking to see, because these are people that you've spent a lot of time with and grown in the Lord with, and it's just a shame.
Very recently, well within the last year or so, Bill Hybels of Willow Creek Community Church in South Barrington, Illinois, after reflecting on some research that they had done about kind of member satisfaction at Willow Creek, if you will, uh-huh, for lack of a better word, kind of went off on a very gentle tirade with his people, saying, you know, if you want to be fed, that's fine and good. We're not really the place to do that, but we'll teach you how to be self-feeders. And there was some gentle mockery of people who wanted biblical, sound scriptural preaching and teaching. Is that your experience as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And you hear that from pastors across the country. You know, going deep is not what this church is about, you know, things like that all the time. And it really is. You know, you come on Sunday morning to get a few points that the pastor has come up with that that will maybe help your felt needs, and it becomes, you know, a light version of the law, basically. And then we are told to self-feed. But the truth is, if that's the depth that you're getting from your leadership, from the pulpit, then who really thinks that these people are going home and going much deeper on their own? It just and the ones who do want to go deep see that the person who's supposed to be shepherding them obviously isn't taking enough care to actually feed them. So, you know, they have to do it on their own, and they have to find a pastor who's going to do that. So it's inevitable that the people who want depth will leave.
Well, when we come back from this break, what's left then? I mean, if there is an attrition of people who hunger and thirst after the pure milk of God's word and the meat of God's word, who want to hear sin and grace every Sunday, who desire to be kept in God's word and fed as sheep from the hand of their shepherd with God's word. If those people are leaving and those who want their felt needs met stay, in the end, what's left there in the seeker-sensitive church? In the end, is there a point of no return for a seeker-sensitive church? Is it, in fact, a trap, victims of their own quote-unquote success? What do you think? Our call-in number live this Tuesday afternoon, March the 16th, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943.
Dr. Rod Rosenblatt, co-host of the national radio show The White Horse Inn, on the uniqueness of Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. presents Jesus Christ and his saving work out of the text of the Bible. The teaching of Christ alone is the driving force of this program. It deals with the important issues of our time with carefully chosen guests and hosts who are knowledgeable in the scriptures, history, and their application. On Issues Etc., you will not hear pop evangelicalism, but confessional Lutheran theology fluently presented.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, Issues Etc. Thanks for your support.
The message is the mission. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here are two new ways to stay connected to Issues Etc., Facebook and Twitter. You'll find photos of in-studio guests at facebook.com/issuesetc, and you'll find a list of upcoming topics and guests on Twitter at issuesetc. Social networking for the thinking Christian, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc. Connect with fellow Issues Etc. junkies today, facebook.com/issuesetc, and on Twitter at issuesetc.
Historic liturgy, cool. Liturgical dance, not cool. Kneeling for the Lord's body and blood on a Sunday morning, cool. Sitting in your theater-style seat with cupful if you're a double mocha latte, not cool. We're the Brothers of John the Steadfast. If you're interested in traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice, check us out. www.steadfastlutherans.com. You are
my soul.
We're talking about the trap of seeker sensitivity in the church. Les Lanphier is our guest. He's author of the blog Killer Robot Ninja. He's written a blog post titled The Downward Spiral of Seeker Sensitivity. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Our email address on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 16th, talkback at issuesetc.org. Twitter us at issuesetc. or give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. In Port St. Lucie, Florida, here's Iris. Hi, Iris.
Hi, it's actually Beth Iris. I was cut off.
Hi, Beth.
Hi, how are you? The reason I was compelled to call in, at first, I just want to praise God, because I know less personally, and we have been truly blessed by what God has done in him and through him and his boldness for, you know, this cause for truth in the gospel to be known among so many people that have been deceived through these type of churches. And I am a product of someone through his boldness and his passion for the truths of what God would have for everyone in the gospel, that I'm just so joyful at this moment that his voice is being heard, and I just want to thank you for being used as well and inviting him on the show, because he is, God is amazing, and everyone needs to know that these seeker-sensitive churches have kept people in such a bondage for what God really has for them and their families. And so I just want to just say thank you, Jesus, for what's being spoken about today, and that this is something that we need to always bring to light, so that if there's other believers that are bound in these churches, that they would hear this and they would know, like, there is truth to the Gospels, and there's so many things that we need to line up with what we're hearing from the pulpit. We have to be Berean, and we have to know that in this modern-day Christianity, we cannot just listen to what's being spoken about from the pulpit without testing it against the Scripture. It's just not what's being spoken about today, and I just want to thank God for this boldness and this radio show.
Well, thank you very much, Beth, and your thoughts, Les.
That's absolutely true. We really do need to, there's promises in the gospel that today's church is completely missing. You know, we are justified by faith alone, and that is so confused today. There's this strange mix of works, and we're still saying that we're, you know, the Protestant church at least is still saying that we're saved by faith and preaching works, and they don't understand what grace means anymore, and doctrine has just been completely lost, and we really need to get back to a place where we understand what God has done for us, and the completion of it, and the perfection of it.
Okay, what's left if by attrition those who desire to be taught the Word of God, the whole counsel of God, in terms of law and gospel, sin and grace, if by attrition these people leave, what's left after a time in a seeker-sensitive church that has committed itself to this way of doing things?
Yeah, I think the eventual, you know, quicksand, the end trap is money. They want a big church, and it takes money to get a big church. And Christians, you know, real regenerate Christians, know how to tithe, how to, you know, give of their resources, and that's maybe we don't always do it as well as we should, but we know what sacrificial giving means. And once those people start leaving the church, you are absolutely stuck. You need to start forcing these people that don't know what sacrificial giving means, you need to convince them to give you money somehow. So you start twisting scripture, you start starting programs to raise money. And I, as far as I'm concerned, once you've entered that arena, there's just no turning back. You have committed yourself to growth, and now the only way to get more money is more people, and it will never end. You need more people, you need to keep watering down your message to get more people, and then your message will never, ever come back to truth. And, some of the really big churches that we see on TV are the end result of all that.
And yet they are held up as great models of success. I think about, he's kind of the perennial example now, but Joel Osteen's Lakewood Church, that boasts now close to 50,000 in a week, largest megachurch in the United States, on television, on the radio, everywhere, and that's a model of success.
Right, and some people, pastors, even in the seeker-sensitive realm, you know, they see issues with with the way that he doesn't talk about Jesus at all. But you know, the bottom line is you're doing the same things. You're throwing around Jesus' name a little bit more, and maybe tacking on a gospel at the end of your message that says, you know, something like, if you don't know where you're going today, you know, the Bible tells you you can, so accept Jesus. But that, you know, that isn't the depth of the gospel that saves people. If somebody responds to that message, you know, they haven't become a converted Christian by any means.
So it sounds as though it's a vicious cycle, Les, that the very thing with an eye toward growing the church numerically, there were compromises made. But those compromises themselves trigger necessities in the church that require even further compromise. And the last thing such a church is going to do, driven by the sensibilities of seeker sensitivity, is present sin and grace every Sunday to its people,
right,
or to the people who come visiting.
Right. Yeah. So I think the only, you know, if we probably all know of churches like these, and the bottom line is, you know, we can't judge their hearts too, because, you know, we are just like them. We are men, we have corrupt hearts, you know, we there's greed in us as well. So all we can do is pray for these people, pray for the Holy Spirit to awaken people to the truth and preach the gospel. That's the only solution. Is God is the only one who can break us of our sins, bring us to repentance, and you know, once again, just start preaching the gospel in truth. I think that's the only solution.
But, you know, people might get offended. They might walk away.
Absolutely.
Might lose them in droves. What happens then, Les?
You deal with it. You let the Lord, we do not compromise the gospel, and we come back to the truth that saved us, only truth that can save anyone. And we trust the Lord that if numbers are important to him, which in many cases they are, he will keep the numbers there. And if the Lord wants you to be a pastor of 25 people, praise God.
Finally, is there an element of this can't be judged to a person, but is there an element of the pastor's own ego here that plays into a lot of this? That
sure.
The numbers really boost his self-esteem.
Well, you know, yeah, exactly. It's hard to judge people's motives, you know. Who are we to say what the there's a lot of possible reasons. It could be money. You know, a lot of pastors do get paid more than they should be. But you know, that's not. I wouldn't say that's usually the case. It probably is. You know, just a desire to have a big church, to have your name known. You know, it's really hard to tell what the reasons could be for specific people, but whatever it is, it is not worth compromising the gospel of Jesus Christ for, because that is the only thing, that's the only hope we have. And if we abandon that, we've become a social club, and there's no salvation in that.
Les Lanphier is author of the blog Killer Robot Ninja. He's written a blog post titled The Downward Spiral of Seeker Sensitivity. Les, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's really quite simple. The church is left here by Christ, commanded by Christ, to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. That's pretty much it. And the church can do all sorts of other things as a human organization, but the one thing it must do is proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in the name of the crucified and risen Savior. Jesus doesn't say, do that at first and then go on to something more important. He doesn't say, well, do that here, but if you end up out there in suburbia where people don't want to hear that, then here's an alternative message. He doesn't say, worry about the numbers. He doesn't. He doesn't say, grow the church. Never does he say, grow the church or grow a church. He says, proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. That's it. And the growth is his business, whether he brings it numerically or not. When we become obsessed with growing the church, then, of course, compromise will naturally follow. There are easier, more popular ways to grow a group of people that will always outstrip, at least in numerical growth, the proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. You can have a lot of success. And there are churches all over the world that are proving it. You can have a lot of success not preaching repentance and the forgiveness of sins. But then again, is such a church doing what Christ has commanded? Is such a church making Christians? Is such a church even a church? When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc., Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will join us. We'll talk about the reluctance of some homosexuals to get married even if they can.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.